Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting.
Than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience.
With Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
Yeah. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hi, everybody. I'm Maury Povich. On my podcast, On Par with Maury Povich, I'm going to sit down with the icons, the stars, and the faces at the very center of today's big cultural moments. With everyone from comedians Josh Johnson, Dan Soder, Leanne Morgan, to newsmakers Don Lemon, Joy Reid, Aaron Parnas, and so many more. So join me for new episodes every week because nothing is off limits. Great conversations. They're always on par. Follow and listen to On Par with Maury Povich wherever you get your podcasts.
The Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
What the Democrats have done and Bob Casey's voted for has been the most idiotic energy policy I've ever seen. So first of all, we constrained our natural resources, particularly fracking around the world in Pennsylvania. You don't have to ban fracking to ban fracking. All the things he's voted for and supports bans fracking. And essentially what's happened is we've lost our ability to be energy dominant. We've hurt ourselves in terms of creating these great jobs. It's not just not losing jobs. We have the fourth largest natural gas reserves in the world. We're black.
So that is Dave McCormick during the big debate and challenging somebody who is obviously a career politician, longtime politician, a well-known name in Pennsylvania, Senator Bob Casey Jr. And in this one, what was interesting, some of the headlines locally even acknowledged that Bob Casey had refused to say if or whether Biden or Harris, whether people are better off, you know, under Biden-Harris than they were 4 years ago. So that was one of the great moments during what was, I think, a pretty heated debate. Welcome in Dave McCormick, who's joining me live. Thank you for being here.
Hey, Don, great to be with you.
Absolutely. You know, one thing I will say, you're getting more comfortable. It's not easy. You know, people don't realize, even somebody was criticizing Elon Musk. It doesn't matter who you are, even if you're Elon Musk with a lot of followers, he's a billionaire. But to stand on that stage with a roaring crowd, that's quite an experience.
Yeah, you get used to it. But you're right. And, you know, you start to talk four or five times a day and the message becomes clear. And the message here is most important election of our lifetimes and a fundamental choice between, in my case, someone who's a seventh generation Pennsylvania, someone who's an outsider, political outsider, someone who's a business guy, West Point graduate, combat vet, versus a guy who is a career politician, 30 years in elected office, has been weak when we need strength, and has voted for this extreme liberal agenda that's really out of step with Pennsylvania. So it's really a choice between change and the status quo. And I think people are seeing that, and that was what I was trying to highlight in the debate. If you're comfortable with things where things are, you should vote for Bob Casey. If you want change, I'm the guy that can bring that as Pennsylvania's next senator, and I'd be honored to do it.
Yes. Yeah, so during the debate, Bob Casey kept talking about Connecticut. He had familiar themes and didn't necessarily want to, you know, talk about his record. Why do you think that is?
Well, you know, listen, when you're a three-term senator, 18 years in the Senate, and he spent 90% of his money, his time talking about me. I think he had seven or eight responses in that debate, which is, you know, Connecticut, so forth and so on. And I think when you don't have a record to run on, you attack the other guy. And in this case, it's not working. You know, he spent $50 or $60 million more than me this summer attacking me, and the polls have closed. And essentially, he's trying to make it sound like I'm not a Pennsylvanian. When I've lived the majority of my life here, I was born here, I grew up here. I left Pennsylvania at the age of 18 to go to West Point and serve in our military. I came back and ran a company that created, you know, hundreds of jobs in Pennsylvania. I had three of my four daughters in Pennsylvania, went to public service again. So my Pennsylvania connection could not be stronger. I've got a family farm in Bloomsburg where I grew up that I've owned for almost the last 20 years. So I am someone who has had a career of success in the military and business that can bring change to Pennsylvania. And Bob Casey's got nothing to say because he's like Punxsutawney Bob. I said this, my mom's from Punxsutawney. He pops his head up every 6 years to run for elected office, but he actually hasn't done anything he can point to. And I think Pennsylvanians, 80% of them feel like the country's going the wrong direction. I think they know that.
Yeah, and I will say, with name-calling, the Punxsutawney Bob, I think is not, it's funny. And so kudos, you know, I don't know if somebody in your family came up with that, but it's funny, but it's not mean. And you know what I mean? And so nobody can say he's being mean or it is a little bit lighthearted.
Well, the challenge here, you know, is politics is tough. You know, it's a contact sport. So yeah. I knew that when I get into it. I ran in the primary last time, as you know, and lost a race of a 1.5 million votes. I lost by 900. So, you know, I've been down this road once before. But the key here is to have a battle. And I think we need to have a big battle, a big fight for ideas. Mm-hmm. The ideas of common sense, securing the border, getting the economy back on track, bringing down prices, law and order in our communities, opening up our natural gas sector, against the ideas of Kamala Harris and Bob Casey, which are ideas in her own words, which Bob Casey has supported 99% of the time, ban fracking, transition to energy workers, have mandatory buybacks of guns, defund the police, legalize or give amnesty to and then citizenship to 10 million illegal immigrants. This is a big difference. And so, you know, we got to hit hard to make sure the ideas, the difference between the ideas is clear. But we need to do that in a way that's not dehumanizing, not trying to make the other side, in my opinion, seem evil. So the campaign I'm trying to run, and I think I'm doing a pretty good job of it, is to hold Senator Casey accountable for his dismal performance. He's been an incredibly weak liberal senator, but also talk about a positive vision for the future for Pennsylvania, the kind of leadership I can bring. And that's the kind of senator I'm going to be, as someone who's, you know, I'm a Republican, obviously. I'm a conservative, but I'm running to represent all Pennsylvanians, Democrats and Republicans, independents alike, and the problems of inflation and fentanyl and crime and all energy prices are not unique to one party. Those are problems we need to solve for everybody.
Yes. And so as far as the U.S. Senate, the United States Senate, what is something that you would look forward to? Because right now, obviously, the balance of power, the vice president right now, she's the deciding vote. And a lot of people are upset about some of the things that have been voted upon, there's some ironically named pieces of legislation like the Inflation Act and so on and so forth. But this is important. And so what are some of the issues that you would look forward to debating and voting on?
Well, you ran that clip. I think, you know, the long pole in the tent for Pennsylvania's future is energy, because that could transform Pennsylvania. I had the governor of Oklahoma came to visit a couple weeks ago to campaign, and, you know, Oklahoma's on fire, but Pennsylvania's not on fire because we have this incredible natural resource in our natural gas that is great paying jobs. It's not just keeping the jobs we have. It's doubling, tripling, quadrupling the opportunity. It brings down the cost of energy for manufacturing. It's great for manufacturing, great jobs. It's great for our national security, and it's great for the environment. You know, we've reduced carbon emissions by about 20% in the United States over the last 10 years. The way to get carbon emissions globally reduced is to export our clean natural gas to coal-fired plants in India and places like that. So energy policy is a disaster right now under Biden, and we've subsidized all these hundreds of billions of dollars for electric vehicles and solar panels, which has driven up inflation and made us dependent on China for lithium batteries and solar panels. So this is an area where just common sense needs to prevail, and I think I can be a really strong voice on that for Pennsylvania and getting reform for pipeline permitting and getting reform for drilling, maybe an offshore export facility someplace around Philadelphia where we could export our natural gas around the world. This would change Pennsylvania's future and create, you know, literally hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of jobs. You know, for every fracking job, there's about 3 to 4 more jobs, restaurants, hotels, mechanics, drivers that are derivative of it. So this can change our future, and I'd love to lead the charge on that on behalf of Pennsylvania.
For you, is there anything, you know, I know that when Nikhail and I had interviewed Donald J. Trump last time, and just talking to him about, you know, his kids, what they've, he mentioned his teenage son, Barron, had given him some advice. So between you and your wife, Dina, I know you're a girl dad, but are there things either that your kids or family members say, you know, you should really do this, Dave or dad, or are there things that you wish you had said during the last debate or said a little differently to bring across your point?
Well, two things. You know, my six daughters, we're very proud of them, but they're proud of me for the many things I've done, but they're most proud of my service in the military. And we've taken them for years, every year to the Army Navy game, which is, you know, America's game. And I don't like to beat my chest on that mm-hmm. because there's so many people that have done so much to serve our country, including making the ultimate sacrifice. But I wish I would have spent a little more time talking about West Point, talking mm-hmm. about going to Ranger School, volunteering for the 82nd Airborne Division, which is a parachute unit, going into the first wave of troops into Iraq, being recognized for my service there. That would have been something I want to keep reinforcing because it's so core to who I am, duty, honor, country from West Point. And my girls are very proud of that, and I'm proud of that. And so I wish I could spend more time on that. You know, my girls are also, you know, they're big, focused on the environment, and I'm focused on the environment. Now, I'm an environmentalist, a conservationist. What's being presented by the Democrats is a false choice. You can have, you know, clean energy, but if you go clean energy, you're going to have to deal with rising prices for fuel and stopping fracking and all these other things. And that's just nonsense, as I just described. So I wish I would have spent a little more time talking about what we just talked about, the role that energy could provide to Pennsylvania's future. Clean energy.
And I know that, you know, on this solemn day, we just are marking 1 year. It's hard to believe that it has been a year. We still have hostages, including four American hostages being held, hope to God, still alive. And I know that Senate Republicans are marking the October 7th attack in Congress. Can you speak to why this is such an important issue and how you would handle this as a United States senator?
Yeah, I'm so glad you mentioned that. I wanted to talk about that because it is such a solemn day.
Yes.
And, you know, Dean and I went to Israel in early January. We saw firsthand the brutality, the carnage of October 7th. We went to a village, Kfar Azot, 800 residents, 100 were butchered on that day. We met with hostage families. We met with survivors of the music festival. It was brutal, evil in its most fundamental form. And we need to support Israel. We need to support Israel's fight for its future because it's truly an existential risk. And we also need to fight the horrific anti-Semitism we've seen here at home. I'm not Jewish. I obviously knew anti-Semitism lurked beneath the surface, but I've been dumbfounded, shocked by what we've seen. You know, a good friend of mine, Dan Senor, who came and did a podcast here at an event with us a couple weeks ago, described it as it's you're out in the night, and it's like a flare goes up. October 7th was a flare. And you see, when the flare's up, who your real friends are. And sadly, too many of our leaders have failed to show the moral courage and leadership needed in this time of existential crisis for Israel and a rise of anti-Semitism at home. We see that with Liz McGill at Penn. We see that with many college presidents. We see it, you know, honestly, John Fetterman's been a model of moral courage, even though John Fetterman and I probably disagree on like 98% of things. And Bob Casey's been a weak voice, endorsing Summerlee and, supporting the Iran deal and so forth. So I think this is a moment, a solemn moment to not be political, frankly, but to spend our time mourning what happened on October 7th. And, you know, what I've learned in the Jewish community is everybody's connected to this. American Jews here, almost all of them know someone or are close to someone or know someone who knew someone. This affects the Jewish communities. This affects us all in a very, very personal, very heartbreaking way. And we still, you know, have hostages that aren't back with their families. So on this day, we pray and we show solidarity and we just should renew our commitment to standing with Israel and fighting this horrible scourge of anti-Semitism here at home.
Yeah, it's so true. Dave McCormick, before you head off, I just wanted to ask you about something, because I believe you've spoken to people about this. I have family members with a niece who has autism, friends who I know wish that there's more done as far as people with mental health disabilities, and as well of just differently abled people. We've seen some school cuts that we've heard about, I know, yeah, in this area, because there were, you know, there were issues of school cuts, and some of the things, some of the services that have been cut back on were those, and I know this personally because of a relative and her son. And so what do you say to that kind of funding on the national level?
Well, first of all, before I forget, for people who are listening who want to learn more about me on this issue and many others, you can go to DaveMcCormickPA.com, and I've laid out my entire agenda. And I think there's probably no campaign in the country that's been more specific about what he or she is for than I have. And one of the things I highlight there is the mental health crisis. And we see it, I think social media is a source of mental stress and challenge for young children. We've seen this with our six daughters. We see an enormous uptick in mental health crises with our veterans, with the sad realization of 22 of our veterans taking their lives every single day. That it's been that average for 20 years. What a catastrophic failure. We see it with school violence, gun violence in schools, and the intersection of the mental health crisis. So I think it's fair to say this is a national crisis. I mean, yes, of enormous proportion that cuts across different groups and different ages. And we've got to treat it like the national crisis that it is. And so it's what we're woefully underfunded, both at the national level and at the state level, in terms of the kinds of facilities to help people transition, the kinds of transition away from a mental health challenge, to have the support they need, the counseling they need, the medication they need. So I think it's one of those problems that doesn't lend itself to a single solution. The area that I know most about is veterans, and the mental health crisis with veterans is largely driven by a resource problem and an access problem. So even if there's mental health support, we're not connecting veterans in trouble to that mental health support. So there's a lot to be done, but I think the first thing we got to do is elevate it to the crisis level that it really is and make it a national priority. And I would certainly seek to do that as Pennsylvania's next senator.
Dave McCormick, I hope we can continue the conversation next time. Thank you so much, and thank you, obviously, for your military service. Dave McCormick, thank you.
Thank you. Always my pleasure. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. By the way, there was a headline that I just saw with Pennsylvania shattering a record at nearly $1 billion overall in election spending. So some of these races, you think about the spending, it's mind-boggling to me. And I wish that we could take all that money and devote it to services and just make sure that people, I don't know, I just wish we had like a debate a day or something, have a countdown. I just think sometimes this is crazy to have this level of spending. Just overall, I'm talking about Pennsylvania politics and all these ads. And sometimes I feel like also there's a point where you just kind of zone it all out. 855-839-1210. Do I have to take a break? Okay, got to take a break. Your thoughts, 855-839-1210. The number to call. So much still, jam-packed show still ahead.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around waiting for the track to dry is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Lemonade. Fresh squeezed lemonade. Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, mine starts here.
Obviously, former President Trump, multiple rallies over the weekend. The big one for us here in Pennsylvania was the return to Butler, which was the return to the crime scene that we've talked about all morning long. He also talked about the hurricane, the aftermath of the storms, the deadliest since Katrina. I'll talk about why I disagree with former President Trump a little bit in his comments. I'll explain as far as from a media category or aspect. But right now, the breaking news of the moment is that there is another storm brewing in the Gulf. This is Hurricane Milton, which is right now, it has intensified to a high-end Category 4. This is from the National Weather Service that they say it's a high-end Category 4 hurricane, 155-mile-an-hour winds, and it's expected to strengthening within just the next few hours, and this is to a Category 5 hurricane with 160-mile-an-hour winds. And so this is expected. Usually they weaken slightly as they approach land, but even if it weakens, do you know what I'm saying? It's going to be so strong that even if it's now strengthening to a 5, and it's a powerful 5, that means that if it weakens, is it going to strike landfall around Tampa at 155 miles an hour? Oh my God. You know, this is horrible news. And this thing's coming out of nowhere because it's coming so fast, barreling toward Florida. And so although it's going to make landfall either Wednesday night, so this is new information we're getting from the hurricane, you know, centers and National Weather Service. So initially, you know, they said Wednesday night, could it be early Thursday morning? Is it going to hit sooner? And this is now sparking these huge evacuations that are historic, as Governor DeSantis has been holding these live newsers where he is saying, we need to evacuate because you have storm ravaged areas already. And this thing is going to hit the Gulf Coast side. It looks like around Tampa, and then go across that midsection of Florida. It looks like right now they're saying that it would go across and back into the Atlantic, but what impact and all the rain, et cetera, will it have on the storm ravaged areas? Looking at the other five other southern states, and I'm talking about, you know, Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, all those southern states that are already recovering in historic, horrible ways, as that death toll in the Carolinas, for example, and the other five states and Florida hits 230. So I know that Trump also referred to this. Did you want to go to DeSantis? I see you queuing things up, Dan.
If there's anything that you had about the evacuation.
Okay. Right here. Because I know DeSantis has been holding these all morning. They're evacuating South Florida, and they're just saying, we got to get out, and we don't want to take any chances. And DeSantis doing an incredible job, let's just say. He's already mobilized the National Guard and all of that.
I do have him on the evacuations here.
Let's listen in.
Today, you have time to execute your plan, but you got to do it now. There have been some evacuations that have been issued. There's going to be a flurry of them today. I know the counties are working on opening shelters. They typically will open the shelters after they have the evacuation go out, not before. So make sure that you're following the news coming out of your local county. But all these barrier islands, all these areas that would be susceptible to the storm surge that's up and down the west coast of Florida, you should assume that there's going to be some form of evacuations that are going to be issued by your local county officials.
So this is the state beginning its largest evacuation efforts. That's since 2017, 51 of Florida's 67 counties under a state of emergency as the state is bracing for Hurricane Milton in Florida. This from Governor Ron DeSantis. So the governor urging residents, pay attention and please abide by these evacuation orders for your safety. Time is running out. And so just begging with people, as they're saying, especially the Tampa Bay area, that's the urgent situation. Drowning deaths, they say, due to a storm surge are 100% preventable. if you leave now. So urging people, leave now. Let's listen in. Can we weave back into, we have to take a break. We have to take a break because I know that Trump talked about this and I do want to address that and then get to Elon Musk. Your thoughts, 855-839-1210, the number to call. With the fall weather, and it's going to be cooler in the evenings, and it was this way over the weekend. So even though we're heating up during the day to these days of sunshine, mid-70s, in the evenings, tonight it's going to be down into the 50s. And I'm starting to, get out the crock pot, think about what a crock. I love what a crock, and do the chili, but also baking. Just the house just smells so good, and spending more time in my kitchen. And when it comes to your home, especially your kitchen, trust is everything. For 45 years, Kitchen Magic, building a reputation for really transforming kitchens with such precision, professionalism, and care, from custom cabinets to countertops. What about the backsplash? And you need those storage solutions. Kitchen Magic gets the job done, and I mean fast. In just days, just a few days, your dream kitchen becomes a reality without all the hassle. Trust the name your neighbors have relied on and trusted for decades. Kitchen Magic. Get your free in-home consultation at kitchenmagic.com. Kitchenmagic.com. Put this on the calendar. Let's cook up something extraordinary.
Yo, it's Jay Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.
As we think about the lives taken by terrorists who attacked on this day 1 year ago, October 7th, and we've been commemorating this day. And I know locally, I've been telling you, locally at the National the Weizmann Museum here in Philadelphia, you can visit if you wish to pay tribute in that regard. And they've extended their hours today. But we want to get to a great author as we think about those inspired to sign up, to serve. You know, I talk about the hero gene, if you will, the chip in somebody's brain who, in the time of a crisis, decides to run toward it, to fight for what's right. And most of us run away, right? But there are those who are heroes among us. And just want to welcome in Captain Elkanah Kuno, who joins me now, the author of October 7th. Excuse me, Cohen, I should say. Kuno Cohen, the author of October 7th, The War Against Hamas Through the Eyes of an Israeli Commander Officer. So, Captain Cohen, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thank you, Dom, for having me. It's an honor to participate in your program.
Absolutely. Can you take me through, first of all, I know that you wanted to say a few words on this day, October 7th. We're here in Philadelphia, and our hearts and our prayers are with you and, really with everybody who's in America who feels the pain and the grief of this, who prays for our hostages to come home, but as well just to know, to let our Israeli friends know that we here in America, the vast majority of us, support Israel. But I know that you wanted to just think about today and your words as we just try to wrap our brains around this grief-stricken day.
Yeah, thank you very much for asking. And I also want to say thank you for you saying it's a Memorial Day, not just anniversary. I heard a lot of people saying it's anniversary. For us, it's an anniversary. It's not something, yes, it's been a year since that terrible day, but for us, it's a Memorial Day while we're trying to remember our dear friend that we lost through this terrible day, and also for the praying to bring back our brother and sister that's still in captivity, 101 hostages. And this day, October 7th last year, unfortunately, I lost 9 friends.
I'm so sorry.
And I want to say their names because for me it's better that the people will maybe just hear their names. So their names was Ali Buzaglo, Bern Bornstein, Mai Naim, Gaia Khalifa, Yotam Ben Basat, Arya Shlomo Tziring, Omri Michaeli, Roy Yosef Levi, and Eliad Ohayon. They died and murdered because they were dancing in a festival music, or they died because they were defending their country. And unfortunately, we lost those people along with other almost 1,200 people that were murdered that day.
Yes. And it's important, and we'll talk about your book in a moment, but I think what's also important to remember is that this was a situation where I think and it's weird to say it this way, but in my humble opinion, the killing or the slaughter of these individuals, which is horrifying enough as it is, but then that some of this was videotaped. But it seems to me that the killing, the murder of these individuals, that was not necessarily the end goal or the only goal.
No, definitely. It wasn't their goal. It just was part of their goal. Their goal is to eliminate Israel, to kill as many Jews, and not only Jews. Mm-hmm. Every person who's taking part of the Western world and with the Western values. And Israel is their only first stop. But we saw them shouting death to Israel, and along that, well, they're shouting death to America. And their goal was to kill as many people that have that kind of values, values of life, values of being for each other. And they basically tried to kill as many people as they could. I can tell you from my perspective that I fought side by side with Muslims and Christians. It's not only war against Jews or the state of Israel. It's much more bigger than that.
And so at the beginning of my show, I talked about the fact, the way that some publications, you know, here in Philadelphia and in America, the way that they call this or report on it as, well, there are two sides to the situation. And even on this day, as they talk on October 7th, they talk about, well, on this side, this is what the, you know, and they're talking about what the so-called pro-Palestinian groups are doing. And on this side, what the pro-Israel, and they make it as if that this was a continuation, not necessarily what happened on this day. So to me, you know, I want to talk about your book, the importance of your book, but in the context also of just making sure that people are fully educated on what happened October 7th, what's going on here. Because I will say there were many, even students, college students here in Philadelphia and cities and communities across the nation, they had no clue as to what the history of this conflict. They really didn't even know what they were against or for. I think they were just maybe joining something they thought was cool or popular. And that's why I think this conversation that we have with you, Captain Cohen, is very important.
Yeah, thank you. So maybe it's a good time for me to share one of the experiences that we had, which I also tried to bring in the book. The reason why I published my book was to allow other people that wasn't there, that didn't took part in this war, to understand what we've been through, what was our thoughts, our feeling, who we were fighting for, and who we were fighting against. And one of the time, we got an intel of a school that was full with terror infrastructure. And we knew that we have to conquer that school, but we also knew that that school was full with civilians. So we always do, we start calling them all out, but no one left the area, no one left the school. And we didn't understand why. So we used a drone in order to scan the school from above. And then we saw that there is Hamas guards inside that school that did not let the civilians to leave the area. But more than that, one of the kids there, I think it was 5 years old, he tried to run away, and the Hamas guard shot him in his head and killed him in front of his mom. Shot his own people because he didn't want the civilians to leave the area because he knew that we won't attack as long as there is civilians inside that school. So in this particular time, we understood that we have to kill those guards. But a couple of moments later, one of that guards went on the rooftop and he was holding a baby in front of us. He knew exactly where we were. We were 200 meters away, which is in feet, let's say 400 feet away, maybe a bit more. And he was holding a baby just in front of us. And behind them was a man that was holding a camera and waited for us to take that shot. Well, we didn't take that shot. Not because we were that guy with the camera, mm-hmm. but because we have different values. And unlike those terrorists and those savages, they brutally murdered, raped, and killed old people, young people. They butchered entire families on October 7th. And while we're talking, still trying to do that and holding 101 hostages while we're talking right now, we don't want to kill any baby. We're trying to do as much as we can in order to avoid any casualties. And we didn't take that shot. Even though at that specific time, they knew exactly where we were, and they could aim any RPG, missile, weapon that they had towards us. I risked my life that time and my friend's life, and we put them on the line because we didn't want to take that shot. Later on, he went on the rooftop again, and he was surrounded with a group of women. One of them banned a little bit, and it was enough for our snipers to take that shot and to eliminate that threat. And I'm sharing that because I want people to understand what's truly going on mm-hmm. and what cruelty enemy we are dealing with. We're dealing with an enemy that don't care about his own population. He don't care about his own people. He's using his baby as human shield. So when I'm saying this war, it's not only our war. And this is the war of the entire world. Mm-hmm. But more than that, we are fighting for our sake, for our brother and sister, but also for the civilian's sake there. Because Hamas don't care about his own people. They just told you, he's using them as human shield. And I just hope that we will be able to make sure that we're eliminating all the terrorists, but allowing all the other people that are not supporting our deaths to be able to live there normally. I'd rather to have a peaceful life. I'm a newlywed and expecting father, a business owner. The last thing that I want to do is to participate in war. That day, I shut down my business. I wasn't able to see my wife for a long time. And my wife also did an enormous time under reserve duty. Me and my wife did together over 500 days that last year.
You know, with your book, which is books are timeless. This is, you know, your really a harrowing first person experience of what happened and so much that you witnessed. But what do you want? And congratulations to you and your wife. What a beautiful blessing that you're expecting a baby. What do you hope and pray that you can share with your child someday about your book and this experience?
First of all, thank you. And what am I wishing? I wish that one day we will not need to fight. I truly want that. I truly want peace. But I also hope that I'll be able to show him. You see that guy on the street? Mm-hmm. He used to be kidnapped in Gaza. But we were able to rescue that guy and to save his life and to show him that even though we went through a Holocaust. It was almost as a Holocaust what they did on October 7th. We managed to build an incredible community and society. We're still educating our kids to values of love, to love each other, to support each other for peace. And hopefully this is what we will be able to do. And this is what I'm really looking for.
Captain Cohen, thank you so much for sharing a part of your heart, a part of your life, And the book is October 7th, A War Against Hamas Through the Eyes of an Israeli Commando Officer. Captain Cohen, thank you so much for joining me. God bless.
Thank you very much. I also want to say thank you for everyone who support us. We feel that, and it's very important. And if there is anyone who wants to contact me, you're more than welcome to contact me through my Instagram account. It is Elkana_Kuno, which is ELKANA_KUNO. And you can find my book on Amazon. Thank you much for your support.
Thank you.
It's really mean a lot.
Aw, thank you so much. And beautiful to hear that he and his wife are expecting. That's exciting, too.
Right.
You know, I'm glad that he has so much hope as well. Thanks for setting that. Great interview. Thanks for setting that up, Dan.
Yeah, thank you. And what a guy. I mean, just an IDF commando here. And talking about his kid, I mean, hopefully his kid. And, you know, I think he wishes as well that, and you heard it from him, that this stuff ends. You know, we don't want this to keep this going on for way too long. And let's get over this crap. And why are we have kids in college campuses supporting these terrorists? Like, we should be clearly standing on one side of this issue. It's crazy to me that we're.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that he stated that, because that's what we hear all the time, that the people there, if they're there, right, the Gazans or Palestinians, however you want to describe, they're being used as human shields. We hear that over and over, and yet that's not the way it's portrayed in the media. And to Dan's point, that's why people don't realize the truth of the situation. So just really thank him. He was gracious with his time. And who knows, as his family expands, he's thinking about home and safety at home. I can't even imagine, you know, and that's just it. When you think about your home and the sanctity of your home, all the memories in your home, the grief and the pain that these families, they've just been in my prayers for a year now and certainly today. So I hope you will take a moment to pray for them and just their healing, and that we can go to a point where there is peace and healing. We'll talk about all of that and get into the, you know, the policies that may make a difference. But when I think about my home, I can't help but think of all the beautiful work that Chapman Windows, Doors, and Siding, that they've done on my home to make my home more beautiful. I mean, I love the work they've done, and to make it more energy efficient, right? And beautiful, curb appeal, all that good stuff. Think about the resale. But maybe you want to think about doing this and getting this on the calendar now, whether it's a makeover for a new front door, or whether you need a couple of windows or all the new windows. The Chapman family team, Mike and Mark Chapman, great brothers. They've been in the community, been in business for more than three decades at this point. They're going to work with you on that. And so maybe you want to budget it, whether it's time-wise or whether it's financial-wise, but you want to say, you know what, we want to do everything at once, or you know what, we just want to do these three or four windows. They're always going to work with you, and not everybody does that. They also have a carpenter or carpenters on staff. If you want a little custom work or you want something special, there's no project too small or too large for them. So that's part of what I love about them. And everything's up front. Everything's in writing. There are no surprises. And let's say you say, you know, I need some finishing touches. I've got some paint for the foyer that was for me. Of course, we can do some touch-up work, and they put that in there. So whether it's windows, doors, siding, shutters, all the hardware choices, you can just give them a call. You can text. They're local. They're like-minded. A real person answers the phone, and they're a local person. That's important, too. 610-431-8898. ChapmanWindowsDoors.com. Chapman, the name I trust. Tell them Dawn sent you.
One thing, they showed us how bad they are. They showed us how bad a job they do. So that's one thing we got from this 4 years. They've done the worst job. It's the worst president in the history of our country. It's the worst vice president in the history of our country. And if you watched over the last couple of days, they are doing, this is a Katrina for them. This is one of the worst. They say it's the worst job ever done on helping people through the ravages of a hurricane.
So Trump at the big rally here in Pennsylvania at Butler. The only piece of this I'll disagree with is that the liberal media, it was liberal back then, maybe people didn't realize it, but during Katrina, Bush, then President Bush, was on the ground. After 2 days, the media was ripping him as racist, etc. And so it's the media that makes the difference. So perhaps in performance, perhaps that will show to be true, the slower reaction. But I will say this, that the media complicit in this one, right? That the media was biased back then against Bush. And who was the president to call that out finally? This president, former president Donald J. Trump. Supreme Court, I had mentioned to you a couple times since 6 o'clock this morning, since we started on Kale & Company, that today is day one of a new session for SCOTUS already. They have dealt a defeat for Elon Musk and his ex-corps. So Musk had said that Special Counsel Jack Smith had violated the First Amendment when they wanted the search warrant. Here's Musk up on stage just on Saturday.
And then make sure they actually do vote. If they don't, this will be the last election. That's my prediction.
That's his prediction. So obviously he's coming out strong for Trump here in Pennsylvania, stumping. I love the black MAGA look with the black on black hat. But Supreme Court also declining to hear First Amendment challenges in gun display and Confederate statue protest cases and booting out the case that Musk hoped they would hear. And so these are huge stories just making breaking news this morning. That's why it's beautiful that we're live and local, because we can expand on this throughout the day right here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. And I'm sure that Dom, I'm sure it's something you want to talk about, Dom.
Yeah, Dawn, Eric Trump coming Perfect. By. And I'm interested that Madeleine Dean tagging up with Elizabeth Warren just revealed that General Mills reduced the size of Cocoa Puffs from 19.3 ounces to 18.1.
Not the Cocoa Puffs.
It is an outrage. Glad that Madeleine Dean's on it. Hey, Madeleine, how about bicycles from Red China? Are we reducing the rate on those with your husband?
Now we know why they're cuckoo. Blame Cocoa Puffs.
Yes.
The Don Giordano Show is right now.
Don Spindlin from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around waiting for the track to dry is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire. Plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.